This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning. We are here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm a dancing machine.
You are.
Too much driving. We need to move.
Yeah, and you drove in this morning, and
no,
I drove
yesterday.
I drove in this morning, right. But I was in Toronto last night. Saying
you're crazy.
Yeah, I know. My wife and I were here. Gail and I were here to see the opening of a show called Inside American Pie,
and
we really enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah, I mean it's an iconic song.
Yes,
and it's all about dissecting it and sort of understanding what all of the lyrics are about. And it's a show in from Prince Edward Island. Yeah, it originated there. Yeah, they brought it in. Apparently,
it's an American song, though.
It's an iconic song.
And even so, for a young guy like you.
Yeah, I remember
you were 2 years old.
Being captivated by it when I was in high school.
Sure, because it's so easy to sing along.
Yeah, it's got interesting lyrics and a story. Anyway, I digress.
But yes, welcome
here we
to the
are.
Garden
the
Show.
The Garden Show.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
In studio, face to face. It's always so much fun.
And we love it. Here we go.
Yeah,
we can touch. There we go. And, of course, we're here with producer Owen as well, which is always a treat to be in the same building with him as well. Yeah.
There's Owen.
There you go.
Waving like a crazy man. So phone us and chat with Owen first.
Yeah, we would love that. Okay, so we'd love for you to give us a call. The number, if you live in Toronto, is 416-360-0740. Or if you live outside Toronto but still within the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And speaking of Owen, do let him know if you are a first-time caller, because then I will give you the garden wings, okay? We want you to call often, call early, and please, 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 one question per call. And I can be ruthless, and you know it.
Exactly.
I can just say, no more questions. Go to the next caller.
Patrolman Robin.
Yeah. You got any announcements?
Well, you know what? Couple. One is, on April the 5th, the Toronto Botanical Gardens is doing a big hellebore sale.
Okay.
So hellebores are a beautiful, beautiful, shade-tolerant, evergreen
hellebore.
Plant.
Okay.
With beautiful, beautiful spring flowers. The common name is Lenten Rose.
Okay, but hellebore.
Hellebore.
Okay.
H-E-L-L-E-B-O-R-E.
So, okay. Is it like a batter to hellebore? Or
no.
Give them hellebore?
No.
No, not
it's,
like that.
I don't know why that's the name. That's the Latin name. But the common name Lenten Rose is because it blooms during Lent.
Oh,
which, of course, we are in the middle of now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they will be blooming imminently.
Yes.
So they're very, very beautiful. Anyway, there's a whole pre-order thing if you want to pre-order. Or you can just show up at the Toronto Botanical Gardens on April the 5th between 9 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. to pick up your pre-orders. But there will also be some available for sale at the time. So that's the Toronto Botanical Gardens. There's an online order thing if you go to torontobotanicalgardens.ca. My only other quick announcement was the Haldimand Horticultural Society is hosting a seed and garden show.
Okay.
So it's quite a big event. It's, again, also April the 5th, April the 5th, the whole week. National Wildlife Week is the 5th to 9th. But this event takes place on the 5th from 9 to 2 at the Riverside Exhibition Center, 151 Caithness Street East in Caledonia. Very big, lots of like 60 plus vendors, snacks, master gardeners.
That's the 5th.
That's the 5th. And of course, one of the speakers who will be at this event is Paul Oliver from the Urban Nature Store, who is one of our sponsors, who is supposed to be here right now, and I was going to tease the crap out of him for being the headliner right. at this show. But he may still show up.
Okay,
he'll be banging on our windows.
Yeah,
we'll let him in.
Yeah, we're keeping an ear and an eye out for him.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Hopefully he'll still be able to join us.
Yeah.
Okay. But if that is all, then you know what we should do. We should go to break. Okay. So yeah, give us a call. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio on the... Oh, it's the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. Yes, yeah. It is 15th of March. Of course, Monday is St. Patrick's Day.
Good point.
Yeah, everything green. Lots of green
or
stuff.
Or red and white, as the case may be.
Or red and white, yes. Red and white. Okay. You know what? Let's go to our first caller. We have Sandra on the line from Etobicoke. Welcome to The Garden Show, Sandra.
Good morning, Charlie and Dean. Mm. I also had a lovely chat with Owen.
Oh, lovely. Owen's the sweetheart.
He's that way.
Sounded really nice. My question is about snow mold. Mm. I've never had it before. This year I have a patch of about 3 foot by 1 foot
snow
wide.
Mold.
It's in the middle of the lawn. It gets full afternoon sun. It didn't have extra snow piled onto it. It just had the snow that we had in Toronto, which was probably 2 to 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with it?
Right, so why are you convinced it's snow mold? Is it because you can see threads?
Oh, yes, it's white. It's white. Quite definitely looks like cobwebs.
Right. So I've got patches of that on my lawn right now, too. So, and not unusual. When we have that much snow and the snow sits for that long, there's a lack of oxygen getting down to the soil and to the lawn. And, that can just cause a certain amount of suffocation, and it sets up the very moist conditions where molds can grow. And the cold weather, et cetera, et cetera. So I wouldn't be overly concerned. A couple things, because, frankly, I haven't dealt with snow mold in years. It's been mild.
I had to Google it because I honestly wondered what it was. It didn't look like the sort of dead-looking patches I've got other places.
Right.
It's definitely white.
Right.
And it really looks like you could sort of go out there and scoop up this webby-looking stuff that's on the top.
Wow, it's that thick?
Well, yes, it's definitely white.
Okay, so you know what? Today won't be the day because there is big rain coming today.
Yeah.
As soon as it's drier, so won't be today, but maybe in the next couple of days, you're going to get out your fan rake. All of us are with lawns are going to get out our fan rakes in the next week or 2 weeks because lawns will very much love to be raked. Number one, you're going to loosen up all the hypha, which is the white stuff you're seeing, which is what, molds do. And so you're going to loosen that all up. And of course, that will dry on a sunny day and blow away. And when you rake, you're going to also separate you're going to not rake really hard, but you're going to put your shoulder into it a bit. So you're going to get the blades of grass standing up again. And again, air and sun is going to penetrate down into the lawn, the turf grasses, and sort of wake them up, allow them to grow. If you're a fertilizer kind of person, you like to fertilize your lawn, then
yes,
you could do your spring fertilizing when you would normally do that, which is probably April you would do that in Toronto, and do that as you would, but rake first. And if you've got really, when you're raking, if you find patches where all the turf just comes out and you're left with bare earth, you are going to have to do some top dressing and some overseeding to fill in those patches. But generally speaking, our lawns are just dormant right now, so they're not very pretty, but they're alive, just still sleepy. But yeah, it's all about the raking.
Okay, so the mold, then I shouldn't be worried about it?
No, not at all. It's the issue for what happens is when you get the blades of grass turning white and you get all that fuzzy stuff, now we don't have our what's it called, Dean? What is it the sun shines?
Oh.
Photosynthesis.
You
yes.
got it. Sorry.
Whenever I know he was having a little nap there. I thought I'd wake him up.
I just had an over 50 moment. That's all it was.
So if everything's white, there's no photosynthesis. Like we need chlorophyll. We need the green.
Yep.
So that's why when you do all that raking, you're going to stimulate the production of chlorophyll. You're going to get photosynthesis, and everything's going to be fine.
But why would it do it in such a relatively small patch on the lawn? It's not like the whole lawn is like this.
Well, because there's
count
some...
Count your blessings.
That's the silver lining. No, it could just be that there's very poor, like, poorer drainage there than elsewhere. Like, it's a wetter spot right there. Like, you might not realize it,
possible.
But it's possible. There's poor air circulation right there, because that's how we avoid mildews, with, you know, keep the water moving, keep the air blowing through.
Okay. Thank you so much, Charlie.
Hey, and also one quick thing. Did you remember, Sandra, in the fall, your final mowing of your lawn is your shortest mowing of the entire year?
I have somebody that cuts the grass for me.
All right, put that on.
He does that part of the contract. It looks short, the grass, at the moment.
Okay.
It doesn't look long.
Yeah, because, you know, we basically mow at 3 inches tall or 2.5 inches all summer, spring, summer, fall. The final mowing of the final one in November, usually it's like 1.5 inches. That's the shortest one. Again, that helps all the little blades of grass from not falling over on top of each other and setting up conditions for mildews and molds.
Okay, I'll take a look when I rake, see if the grass for some reason is longer there.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Exactly. Could be something like that.
Maybe that's the problem.
Right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, have a great weekend. Charlie, question. You mentioned rakes. Okay.
Uh-huh.
What kind of rakes should we be?
A fan rake. The one that's shaped in like a fan. So I have about 5 of them. If anybody wants to come visit me, I always put people want to help.
Yeah.
Animal rake. Because I got an acreage of raking at my
place.
And
the fan rakes seem to have changed over the years. I mean, when I was growing up, they were all metal and they were relative size.
That's the only kind I use.
Now you can get them in plastics and they're huge.
Yeah, not easy.
So you like the metal ones?
Well, metal works, number one. Number two, it's a comfort level. Those big honking huge ones, they weigh a ton. Like, they're unbalanced. You got all the weight on one end and no weight on the other end. Yeah. If you can find your groove with that size and shape of a rake, go for it. I just prefer a really flexible, which is what the metal gives you, lots of flex. And I prefer the tool that's the right weight for me.
Okay.
So, you just at the store, don't buy anything until you've walked around and taken it on the floor a few places and, you know, fool around with it a bit.
Fair enough. Okay. Numbers to call us, 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number. Outside Toronto, but still within Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yeah. We're back here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. And, Charlie, I'm excited because this next caller, I just did a quick navigation search. Ridgeway. Wasn't sure where it was.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that it's near Crystal Beach, which we used to go to when I was kids all the time, the big yellow roller coaster.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it. Yeah, we've got Sharon on the line from Ridgeway. How are you today, Sharon?
I'm well. How are you both?
Good. And it is near Crystal Beach. Is that where you are?
Oh, yes. We're about a minute and a half, 2 minute drive.
Wow.
Wow.
Well,
and I used to go there every summer from Hamilton with my father's work picnic was all held there. So we used to have a ball.
Well, we did too. That we went to the Ford picnic. And so.
Yes.
Was the same one?
We went to the Otis Elevator.
Otis Elevator picnic. Yeah, so my grandfather, who is turning 97 in June, he worked for Ford. And so every year we went to the Ford picnic, and it was a big deal. We drove also from the Hamilton area, and it was just
magical.
So magical.
Yeah.
Because when you got close, you could see through the trees the yellow roller coaster, and you went, we're there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. I remember it well.
So Sharon, what do you got for Charlie?
Well, I had beautiful geraniums, and I brought them in the house for the winter, and I must say they are gorgeous. They're blooming now. I know I'm supposed to cut them back right about now, and I'm just wondering how much, and I'm also wondering, can I root out the cuttings, and how should I go about that?
Okay, so great question, and you're absolutely right. Any of us that brought in geraniums are all looking at them now and saying, got to do something with these. They're taking over. So, yes, everything you cut off, because you're going to, I mean, depending on the size of them right now, they're probably, you know, you've probably got them in a 6 or 8 inch pot, and they're, you know, a foot tall and wide with lots and lots of stems. So each stem can be cut back to a minimum of a 4 inch cutting. So from the tip all the way down, you're going to cut, of course, just above a leaf, which means your next bit of growth on the mother plant will come from where you did your cutting. Just above that leaf is where there's going to be a bud that will grow. You will remove the flowers from all the pieces that you've cut off, cut those out, and then you remove the lower leaves, at least two, if not three, of the lower leaves off the cutting. And then I find they root really easily in water. I just put them into a jar of water. You can stimulate root growth with synthetic root stimulators. But remember, a couple of weeks ago, Paul de Groot had sent me some natural root stimulators, willow being the obvious one. So if you have any pussy willow in your neighborhood, grab just a little piece of pussy willow, stick it in the same jar where you're sticking your geraniums, and you'll have roots within days, probably. And then you'll pot those up. Yeah, it's easy.
Very good, because they cost like $9.99 last year, and I thought, I'd like to just make my own, thank you.
No, you're absolutely right, and I have a favorite geranium. I've kept it for years. It's actually called Vancouver. What I love about it is that it's got really great leaves. So even if it's not flowering, the leaves are like a lime, burgundy, two-tone, very, very ornamental leaves. And then beautiful. The bonus is flowers. So I keep that one going. And I didn't bring in the mother plants. I took cuttings in October, which took 3 months to root. But at this time of year, it'll take 3 weeks to root.
Right. Well, they're in a south window at the moment. Luckily, most of our windows face south.
That's great.
So
that's
perfect. Great for that.
Yeah, and they're they're easy. And the south window, just don't overwater them, you know, when we bring them in like that. But you've done well, it sounds like.
Yes, I'm really thrilled with them, quite frankly. I've never had such success before.
Good.
But,
good stuff.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call, Sharon.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing the memories.
Yes, thanks for bringing back a memory. That was great. Okay, super. And guess what Dean wants?
What?
Dean now wants a cutting from that geranium that you were just talking about. And so, I think you mentioned you're going to be in studio. We'll probably be in studio again
in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
And so I feel very giddy now, knowing that you are going to bring me a cutting from that geranium,
I will see how pretty it is.
Yeah.
And it just needs lots of sun.
Okay. We've got some south windows as well, so that's great.
And once you go outside with it, you're going to go outside.
Super. I've got a perfect spot for a geranium.
See? Look.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know
how
pretty that is?
Oh, yeah. You're bringing me one of those. Yeah. I'm just, and I'll tell you what, I know what I wanted to mention. I wanted to mention that we have heard from Paul. Paul was supposed to be in studio today, but he is not well.
Yeah.
So he had to cancel. However, we will figure out another time for him to come in, because we always have a great time with Paul, and especially for those who have bird questions, because that's, of course, his specialty. Urban Nature Stores, among other things, their big focus is birding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so
everything to do with urban nature.
Yes.
But wild birds, Paul knows them so well.
Knows them so well. Yeah.
And for those of you that subscribe to the Urban Nature Store, as I do, as a sort of a member of the club, so to speak, he didn't realize he wasn't coming today, that he was going to be so ill. And they've sent out, and I'm just going to mention this because the email that went out to the subscribers says, don't miss this. Paul reveals a special perk because, you know, tune in and get $10. Paul goes live on The Garden Show.
Right.
So he, just for the purposes of anybody who received that email and perhaps isn't getting a chance to participate because he's not here to reveal, guess what the secret code, because we've done this before, right? You have to go to the website and put the secret code. Well, the hint is Canada's favorite bird.
Canada's favorite bird.
It's been cardinal in the past.
Yeah.
So we're going to check it on our break. But Canada's favorite bird, I think, isn't that like a jay or something?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I'll get that confirmed because, you know, there's nothing worse than getting tantalized for a $10 gift certificate and then not being able to get it.
Yeah.
So we'll get that sorted out before we're done here.
You got it. I'm going to give you the numbers out again before we jump to our next caller. If you live in Toronto, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-360-0740. 740-4740. I will give you also, not to use it now, but if you wish to get in touch with Charlie during the week, if you have a photo or something that's easier to send her, her email is c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. Let's go to our next caller. We have Trudy on the line calling from St. Kitts, St. Catharines. Mm. Welcome to the Garden Show, Trudy.
Good morning, Charlie and Dean. Mm. I'm just loving this weather. I've been out in the garden already during the week. I have a question about seed starting mix. Now, I've read a local expert saying that not to use it and there's no nutritional value in it, so once the seeds have started, you need to pot it up into something else. Mm-hmm. Should I use seed starting mix or should I just use a regular potting mix?
And this is for starting seeds we're talking.
Starting seeds like tomato plants and things like that, yeah.
Personally, I use seed starting mix, and the reason why is because it's a much finer grind than regular potting mix. The ingredients are virtually the same. A lot of peat moss or coir, one or the other, so C-O-I-R, which is coconut husk. A lot of that in both of them. In the seed starting mix, not so much chunky perlite and vermiculite as there is in a potting mix. But I do use a seed starting mix because seeds do love growing up without a lot of chunks in the way, right, mm-hmm. without bark and all this other stuff. None of them have any nutritional value. Don't think that seed starting mix is inert and potting mix is somehow not.
So it's all about the texture. It's all about the...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So for seeds, we do use a finer textured soil. And yes, once they start to grow, we do pot them up usually because we get so excited, we start them too early and roots start growing out the bottom of the little pots we've grown them in. So we pot them up to, say, a 4-inch from maybe a 2-inch. And then I go into a regular potting mix. But again, there is no nutritional value in any of that. So you've got to sort of monitor your nutrients. I don't crank a lot of fertilizer on very young plants, though, because I don't want them to start, you know, blasting growth in my basement. I want them to just, you know, chunk along, slow and steady, nice and strong, bright, bright light, keep them green, keep them short, keep them dense. Once we get outside, we're into real soil, and there we have all our organic amendments.
Right, but it's good that you have clarified. Now, of course, Trudy and I have a better understanding of why you have a seed starter mix.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's an extra expense, so sometimes people go, yeah, do I have to use it? Do I have to spend? Or they love the little Jiffy pots, the ones where you add a little pellet, you add water, and it blows up into a tiny little starter pot. But, again, you're going to have to pot those up. They're very small.
Trudy, have you started tomatoes before?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Okay. It's something on my list to do. I haven't embarked on that
So I
want to do that.
I find that for most people, like, seed starting is not hard. You know, the simple mechanics of putting seeds and moisture and soil together is not hard. But getting them to grow into good, strong, healthy plants can be challenging. And I use lights. I have grow lights. And I use air circulation because my lights have a fan. Like, you got to keep the air moving. You got to keep the lights bright. And I use heat below my seeds.
Right. What's the minimum sun every day for those? What do you like?
Well, I have my grow lights on 16 hours a day.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I do like they have an 8-hour night, basically, because it's dark. When it's dark, it's dark, and when it's bright, it's bright. And I can move my lights, so I can start them low, and as the plants start to grow taller, I move my lights up.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Thank you for your help. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Trudy.
My pleasure.
And if you get extra tomatoes, Trudy, you can send them my way, okay?
Well, I'm going to have to start tomatoes for you too, huh?
Yeah, you got it. Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Trudy. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Catherine on the line who's calling from Waterloo. Welcome to the Garden Show, Catherine.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I have a snake plant. Also known as mother-in-law tongue.
Yes.
I'm using that one.
Yeah, I was going to say mother-in-law tongue.
See, and I was going to bring my mother-in-law. I have to stop by Caledonia. I have to stop by Mount Hope today, and I was going to bring her some flowers.
Oh.
But I'm going to look for a snake plant.
Oh, nice. And she's going to go, thanks a lot.
Dean.
That's a mother-in-law's tongue.
That has brown dead pretty much parts of the leaf. Hmm. Do I trim that and hope that it grows back, or
Okay, so let's be clear where the brown is. Is it on the tips of the leaves or down on the sides, or where is the brown?
Yeah, down on the sides.
Okay, and is it a very old plant? You've had it for a long time?
I have.
And is it... Yeah, because the cool thing, Sansevieria is the proper name, mother-in-law's tongue or snake plant are common names.
Okay.
And they're very hard to kill. I think that's why they call it mother-in-law's tongue.
They're, so, it's just getting funnier all
I know,
the time.
Exactly. So the trick with Sansevieria, like I used to always say, sometimes people, you know, have a real hard time growing certain plants. And I'd say, this plant you cannot kill. Take it home, put it in the back of your closet, close the door on the closet, don't go in your closet for a year, come back a year later, pull it out, it's going to look exactly the same, which is not quite true. But nevertheless, the only way we get brown leaves and the only way we kill them is too much love. So stop watering that plant, number one. And I guess it depends how much brown is on the leaves. When leaves still have green on them, I tend to leave them because they're still photosynthesizing, right? As the brown or yellow takes over the leaf and the leaf really starts to go down, then I get out my scissors and say goodbye to the leaf. Would you trim out bits on the leaf? I'm not sure. It kind of depends how it would end up looking. If there's lots of good, green, healthy leaves. So north window, east window is great. If you're in a basement, it's usually even fine for Sansevieria. But don't water.
Catherine, may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How do you water? Do you have a...
I haven't watered all winter. I haven't watered all winter.
Okay. And what kind of light is the plant in?
It's, well, facing... I guess that's south.
Is it bright window?
No.
Okay, so it's probably north then.
It's kind of further back, yeah.
And it's not in the window.
No.
Okay. If you,
it's big.
How many years have you had this plant?
Oh, I don't know. 15.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe 15.
Have you 20. Ever repotted it?
No.
No.
Well, yeah. No, I must have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's big.
Is it in a pot that has drainage holes?
Yeah, it has. One, yeah, at the
okay,
bottom.
Good. So if possible, pick up the plant with the pot, hold it up so you can look and see if roots are growing out the bottom drainage hole.
Okay.
If it's been, you know, 10 or 12 years, the soil has probably disappeared and you might just have a pot with roots and no soil. Mm. Like maybe it is time to water. Like I can't say for sure not being there looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do water them every now and then. And we do definitely fertilize all our plants starting now, once a month, March to September. So if you're watering that plant once a month, then it could get fertilized once a month. Not watering it all winter is probably fine, but then again, maybe there's no soil if the soil has disappeared in the last 10 years. So maybe a little TLC, a little looking at it, check it out, check for roots, smell. You know we've overwatered plants. If you smell the roots and it smells like a swamp, then don't water and you've overwatered. And then we can trim out some of the mushy dead roots and start with some fresh soil and a fresh pot and, you know, let it settle in and give it, you know, even move it a little closer to the window if you wish, just to give it a little more TLC. And once it's a happier plant, consider fertilizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call there. Yeah. Thanks, Catherine. Unlike Catherine, I have a 27-year running mother-in-law tongue in my life. So.
Listen to you. But who's counting, right?
But who's counting? Speaking of counting and numbers, here are the numbers. 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yeah. We're back here on The Garden Show on this 15th of March. Hard to believe we're halfway through March. Hey there, Charlie.
Ah, spring is in the air.
Yeah, I love it. Spring arrives officially on Thursday at 5, just 1 minute after 5 a.m.
Oh, my. You're right on it. So this is our last show of the winter.
This is our last show of the winter.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Next, by the time we get to next Saturday, we will already be a couple of full days into spring.
And you know what? I'm not going to miss winter, I don't think. We got a good one. We had our snow.
We
got our, you know, Do you still have 6-foot piles on your driveway?
We do not. No.
Okay, good.
No, it's actually really, you know, it's not all the temperature. I have to say the wind really also erodes that snow.
Right.
You get that warm wind and we get those blustery days.
Snow disappears.
And now, as you mentioned, I think tonight is when we're supposed to get a ton of rain. Mm-hmm. And the concern is that because the ground in some spots is still partially frozen.
Oh, it's all frozen.
That it can't soak
no
in quick enough. Yeah. So then we have to be mindful of
runoff. So make sure if you've got storm sewers.
That's clear.
Yeah, there's leaves or debris, anything, or ice covering, everybody should be out there opening those now.
Okay. Yeah, but it's get giddy this time of year, for sure. Spring is coming.
I know, it's our last show.
Spring is in the air.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have John on the line from Mississauga. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Garden Show, John.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie.
Welcome.
Thank you for your prompt answer. My God, you're so quick.
Thank you. I hover waiting for emails from people like you.
Well, I mean, I've been doing this for I don't know how many years. I'm 84 now, but anyhow, thank God I'm still able to do this.
It.
I don't know how long I'm going to keep doing this.
I don't believe
But, no, I mean, I've never seen them. I was outside yesterday. Actually, I do half an hour, maybe 3/4 of an hour a day.
Okay.
Because on one tree, Charlie, on that tree that I send you the picture,
yes.
Sometimes it takes me a week.
I bet it. It's
you
huge.
Know, that's how big that tree became.
It's huge.
From 1977, from a small Zion. But anyhow.
Wait, John, for people that don't know, we're talking about a fruit tree. This is a bambinella, which is a form of pear, actually, that you brought from Italy. And did you bring it as a seed? As a seed, or
I brought it from Malta, Charlie.
Oh, from Malta. My mistake. Sorry.
So no, it's okay. It's okay. actually, I think I told you there's a nursery in Briscoe that's selling them, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of that.
Nope. All right. Good to know.
I gave a big nursery up in around Hamilton Way. I don't want to mention. and I gave him some seeds. And then he grafted them. He grafted he grafted around 100 of them, Charlie. But I went to this nursery and with my wife, and I tell you, the tree is fantastic what he's doing. But no, not too many people know about it.
No,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're out there, you're taking advantage of doing your fruit tree pruning now while the tree is dormant, which is absolutely correct.
Yes. And now I'm looking. Actually, I'm looking now. That's the bambinella. But the apple, the golden delicious, or red delicious, both. They have these thin. Again, everything going up. So those are the suckers, Charlie.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Also known as water spouts. Yes, when they don't fruit, they don't flower, they don't fruit.
Yeah, because there's thousands of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you know what? But did you saw the? I sent you a fact sheet.
Oh yes. But Charlie, I don't prune anytime. I mean, the only time I prune is early spring. Around this time.
Good.
Actually, maybe Monday morning I try to spray with Dorman or lime sulfur.
Okay.
Because it's gonna be two sunny days.
Yep. Good.
So
yeah, you're smart. You do good maintenance, no question, John. But I think the issue, just for everybody who's not as tuned in to what you and I are talking about, I did send you from the Ontario government a fact sheet called Pruning Fruit Trees.
Yes.
And people can see it by just going, you know, Google Pruning Fruit Trees Ontario. So it's multi pages long. And the real trick when we talk on the radio about pruning, it's hard to really do a good effective pruning seminar on the radio, but it's starting when the trees are young. It's having an impact on their mature shape when they're young. You are dealing with mature trees that are very, very large. And so none of us prune hard enough usually when we should. Way back when the trees were 3 years old, they needed, you know, some real serious, and you were probably way too gentle. And now you've got these massive trees with all kinds of growth you don't want. And, you know, you might, and it's hard to get an arborist. Most arborists go, I don't touch fruit trees. So
I'm the arborist. I'm the arborist.
I know you are. Oh, it's a good thing. Keeps you young.
I've been doing this, as you know, for at least 50 years, anyhow.
Yeah.
But I've never seen them. this high. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, to be honest with you, Charlie, I was, the branches, I don't want the guy that picked them up, you know, that because, you know, they have so many regulations. Some of them are 7 feet.
Yeah.
I know. So I cut them in half. No, and I bunched already. I have two, but two bad people don't like, if somebody wants to graft, they can come and I give them how much they want. But
if, John, if they're growing 7 feet, you got to take off the whole 7 feet. Like, you go back to that fact sheet I sent you. The summary of...
Okay, take half, right?
No, you cannot. Summary of rules for pruning bearing trees. There are 12 rules. And rule number 3 is, where possible, prune on the horizontal plane. That is, leave those laterals on the main branches that are grow horizontally or nearly so, mm-hmm. and remove those that hang down or grow up.
Yeah, well, remove. The one I'm taking off, Charlie, is the one that grow up, right?
Yeah, so do
that's
it.
The one
don't.
That, like I said, that, my God, that, like I said, I'm sorry to take more of your time, but
yeah, it's okay.
They're going, like I said, all of them are going high.
I know, right? But you got to cut them right out. You can't just cut them down by half.
That's exactly what I'm doing. But,
okay, good.
But again, like I said, I thank you very much. And I, as you know, I listen, but in winter, I don't have no questions to ask you.
Oh,
you know?
Spring is coming. John's going to be calling more often.
Believe me, in winter, good thing I have good neighbors.
Yeah.
Because with this snow that we had, I know Charlie lives somewhere up north.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to be in his shoes if he wants to shovel all the snow.
Me neither.
Okay.
Thanks,
guys.
John.
Okay.
Thank
you very much, Charlie and Dean.
Thanks,
have a
John.
Great day.
You as well. So I've always wondered why I like John so much, and I didn't realize he's from Malta. Two of my favorite actors that I ever worked with on stage,
really?
Jonathan Alul and Steve Gaucci, both from Malta families.
Really?
That's why, yeah.
Well, you know, I think there's a Maltese mafia, and they were set. I was set upon by them.
Yes.
So I'm not that keen. I mean, no, nothing bad to John, but...
I love the Maltese.
Yeah. So Paul Zammit, the name might not mean anything to you. He's a well-known horticulturalist.
Okay.
He's been around Ontario's my age. Very, very fun guy. Yeah. And I once did a competition with him in public, a horticultural competition, and his mom was in the audience. And I whooped his butt. And so I was like, oh, no.
Then you were the target.
His mom is going to set the mafia after me.
You're hilarious.
Just like to embarrass, like not embarrass him, but to beat him in public. Like, yeah, there was a lot of like going on.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm still alive. I've managed to elude them. Phew. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go to our next break. I can see that we have a couple of first-time callers on
Great.
The line. We'll get to them as soon as we come back right here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, I can't believe it, Charlie. I cannot believe that we are already in our last segment of The Garden Show.
It all goes too fast.
It goes
well,
so
particularly
quickly.
When we go off on tangents that are completely irrelevant.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Whatever.
What have you got planned for this week before we get to our next caller? What do you got? Have you got stuff that
you are doing? I have pruning to do, which I have not started. So, you know, I'm glad John... Well, I've been walking around looking at crab apples that need to be pruned. And, you know, this is the time.
I've got my crab that I have to do as well.
Because we can see the skeleton. Mm-hmm. There's no leaves in the way.
Yeah.
And when it comes to early flowering trees, I mean, you know, we lose some flowers pruning now, but it's worth it because we have healthier, happier trees in the long run.
Okay. We have another one of our first time callers on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tim on the line from Owen Sound. Welcome to The Garden Show, Tim.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
Morning. Good.
Welcome.
I'm going to quickly give you your garden wings, okay, because we want to do that.
Yeah.
We celebrate our first-time callers,
yes,
okay?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And awesome. Yeah, so I'm phoning in to regards to I was on the internet and I came across a couple in Michigan, mm-hmm. East Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Spotted a rare yellow cardinal.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
I'm so envious.
That's really cool. I never even thought that there was such a thing.
Me neither. Did you feel like you wanted to jump in your car and go there to see? Like, it was, like, pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's apparently, it's, like, pigments in their feathers
mm-hmm.
that cause the color, different color.
Right.
I would be bragging, too. I would be putting that all over the internet if I had something that
it's
rare
like
in my
car. It's like a miracle. Like, it's unreal.
Because it's a South American bird, right? It's not an even North American bird.
Yeah, it was just like, and apparently this couple have been bird watching for over 30 years, and it's the first time they've ever seen one.
And it ended up in their backyard, which is even better that they were like able to recognize what it was. And it made it to the news. This was all happening late December, early January, by the sounds of it, this past winter. Yeah. I guess the bird caught a wind, like a wind blew it or something.
Yeah, and I think this should be blowing up all over the internet because people probably out there don't even realize that there is such a thing. No.
Exactly.
Tim, are you a birder?
Yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Actually, speaking of birds, I was out with my dog out in the backyard, and I'm standing there on the walkway just outside the back door, and I heard this screeching. I thought, what? That can't be. No. And I've seen them around a couple years ago, or maybe even last year. And he landed on a tree beside my neighbor here in his garage.
And what was it?
And it was the pileated
woodpecker.
Woodpecker. Oh, nice. My
they're
goodness!
They're huge.
Yeah, that's
huge.
Like Woody Woodpecker.
Their
right?
wings are amazing.
Wow. Yeah, they've got a wingspan of about 3 feet, really.
Wow.
Three, four feet.
Woody the woodpecker is a red-headed woodpecker.
Oh,
pileated
right. okay.
are the big. They're,
big
they
ones.
They can take a tree down. Like they are so strong.
Oh,
their
my.
Beaks, etc.
Okay.
Wow,
yeah,
Tim. Thanks.
They're
good sharing.
I couldn't believe it. It was almost like if I could have hit a button on my shoulder to extend my arm, I would have touched it.
Absolutely. Tim, listen, thank you very much for the call. I got to run to, we have another first-time caller on the line.
And, thanks. Yeah. And,
don't be a stranger.
Okay, thank you very much. Coffee's okay, we're going to go always. Right now, because we're very pressed for time, we're going to go right now to Linda, who is calling from Pickering. And Linda, as I mentioned, is also a first-time caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Linda.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
I'm going to give you garden wings. There you go, my dear. Okay.
Welcome.
Yeah. What do you got for Charlie?
Well, I have a raised vegetable garden plot, and it faces south. It's right beside my house, facing south. It doesn't get sun all day, but I get a fair bit of it. And I've used, originally when I started it up, I put ProMix soil for vegetables in it. I've had it for 2 years. And I'd like to know, how do I amend the soil now? What do I put in it?
So give me a sense of the size of this garden. How deep is it? How wide?
It's about six feet long by 3 feet wide by about 3 feet deep.
Wow, that's a lot of ProMix. That was probably hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. What I would do, because I'm sure the level has dropped, it always does. We always have that decomposition going on. And ProMix is a lovely mix, there's no question, but it's expensive to use that straight. So what I would do is I would either get some bags, depending on what works better for you, or a yard of good quality triple mix and get that in before you do any planting this spring, and obviously pull weeds, do whatever, you know, clean it all up, get your level back up to what it was. And when you're planting, the mix will start to happen. I wouldn't go crazy mixing it all. It will just naturally mix.
Okay. There we go. And now, like, we are at the end of the runway. Like, it's craziness.
Oh, we've got less than a minute left.
Yeah.
And it's our last show of the winter. But goodbye, winter. We don't miss you at all.
No.
So March came in like a
lion.
So
yeah.
We figure it's going out like a lamb, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The forecasters are saying, be prepared for big rain and big everything, wind, et cetera.
And it's a bit tricky this time of year because, of course, many people probably have not had the opportunity to get up there and make sure their eaves troughs are cleared as well. It's a little bit early because that's a good thing to, if you have some time today, just to make sure they're all clear to get it away from your house.
Yeah, with the rain coming, et cetera. And remember, we'll get into the gardens when we can, but when they're soggy, we're staying off the lawns, stay out of the gardens, stay on the driveway. You know, if you can rake from the driveway, do it. But otherwise, too much sogginess, just stay away, hold yourself back. And we'll talk more about seed starting and all that important stuff. And you wanted to know more about greenhouses.
Yeah.
There's always something. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Good fun, Dean. Thanks for coming into
always
the
a joy.
City. And Owen can do any of it without you. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.